Things going to happen in this place this morning. Cycles will be broken. Familiar spirits will be cast out. Bloodline issues stops here. Okay, I'm going to speak to the middle crowd. Maybe you hear me. Who's excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Deliverance is coming to your house in the name of Jesus. I want to quickly quote the scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. The scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, amen, and wickedness in heavenly places. Please say heavenly places. So you know the scripture says that there's a fight going on. There's a war happening. Everything that's happening around you is because of the war that's happening in the spiritual. Okay, I need some people that will help me preach this morning. Whatever you go through in the natural today is because of the war that's happening in the spiritual. This is why Jesus said that we wrestle, you fight not against flesh and blood. You do not fight each other. The Bible says that we war among each other. We should not war among each other. Amen. Come on, we should not fight each other. The fight is not because of flesh and blood. The fight is going on because the prince of darkness knows that his time is short, that Jesus Christ is coming back in power and in glory. Satan knows there's no God like Jehovah. Come on, Satan knows there's no God like Jehovah. He knows he's greater than Muhammad. He's greater than Buddha. He's greater than Hare Krishna. Come on, I'm speaking to somebody. He's greater than Mammon. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. If you believe it, I want you to shout hallelujah. There's no God like him. I want to say this again. I'm on live television. I say this publicly. There's no God like Jehovah. He's greater than Muhammad. He's greater than Buddha. Oh my God. He's alive. He's alive. And I want to say this free of charge. There's only one way to heaven, and Jesus is his name. He is not a way. He's the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but by him. If you believe it, I want you to high five your neighbor and say, I am glad to be in the house of the Lord. If you just want to hear me just for a few seconds, before you go into war with the enemy, you need to know your enemy. It's useless for you to go into a fight not knowing who you're going to fight. You know, when you used to box, they mentally prepare you to study your opponent. You have to know your enemy, who you're going to fight. You study his weaknesses. Who hears me? You study the strong points, and then you work on what you lack. In the army, the same thing. They make your enemy a reality so that when you go into war, that you know who you war against. Many Christians today fight a demonic fights, and they don't even understand who they fight and where it comes from. Now, God is a God that his word is yes and amen. When he speaks a word, it's done. He never changes his mind about anything. I want to get something across, that God is not a schizophrenic. He does not have a split personality. He is perfect in all of his ways. He was there from the beginning, from the eternal past. He is there. God does not sit in existence. Existence sits in him. God does not sit outside of a realm of time. Time consists in him. Do you hear me? Is somebody listening to me? If you're here, just quickly wave at me. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, I'm just quickly going to quote this. The Bible says that there was kingdoms and thrones created by him. Kings and thrones were created by him. Now I want you to just, I'm going to read you a passage in Genesis 1 verse 1. I want you to just get it on the screen. Open your Bibles. Please take note. And I want you to say this with me. God is a God of order. One more time. He's a perfect God, so he knows everything that he does. So the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I want you just to pause there. What I like about the Hebrew language explains things that the English language doesn't. In the Hebrew language, the word that says in the beginning God, the word God in the Hebrew language is not God, it is gods. In the beginning, gods created, gods with an S, gods created the heavens and the earth. What do you mean God? God the Father, God the Word, and God the Spirit. They created the heavens and the earth. This is what people say, well, there's only one. No, there's not one. The scripture says plural. Even for Afrikaans people, if you say dames and here, dames is plural. Means more than one. As you know, met my ears, why go for my? Here, dieselfde. Here beteken as meer as een heer. I don't know if you're ready for what I'm going to teach this morning. I really don't know if you're ready. Holy Spirit, help these people. Because this, you better hear me. Genesis 1 verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The word created means perfection. Created means God created it according to His plan. In Genesis 1 verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. It means there was perfection from the word go. Let's go on to verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Just pause there. Now, something happens in Genesis 1 verse 2 that pictures a whole different scenario from Genesis 1 verse 1. Let me just try to recap quickly. Genesis 1 verse 1 says that God created, please say created. And He made it perfect. And I'm going to prove it to you. He made the heavens and the earth perfect. Then Genesis 1 verse 2 says, and suddenly the earth was without form. It was void. There was darkness on the face of the deep. I want you to say darkness. Now, I want you just to pause there. We're going to go back to the scripture. Please get Isaiah 24, if you have it on. Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, verse 1. You can read this. And I know it might sound boring to you now. You've got no idea where we're going. Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24, verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty. The Lord makes the earth empty. I want to read it from my Bible. These screens are driving me nuts. Isaiah 24. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste. He distorts its surface and scatters abroad its inhabitants. I want you to hear me quickly before I'm going to continue so that you can understand where I'm coming from today. Satan believes every word that God speaks. Maybe you in this side hear me. Satan believes every word that God speaks. Satan himself believed that God cannot lie. He understands that it's impossible for God to lie. When Adam fell, or Eve sinned, Adam fell, right? What did God say to the serpent? He said, the seed of the woman will crush your head. Satan believed him. Genesis chapter 6, he sent angels to sleep with women on earth, and they produced a giant race. The Bible speaks later on in the book of in Peter. It says that those angels were confined into prisons underneath the earth. There's not enough time to teach on this morning, but there's five compartments underneath the earth. And the scripture says those angels has been bound in the underworld. And they're waiting on judgment. But do you know why they came in Genesis chapter 6? This is why God sent the second flood. Not the first flood, the second flood. There was a flood before that. I'm going to prove that. The second flood came because of the giant race that reproduced. The shocking thing for me is there was only 8 people with a pure bloodline. That means everybody on the face of the earth slept around. Everybody on the face of the earth's seed was corrupted. And the simple reason why Satan tried to do it is to stop what God said, that the seed of the woman will crush your head. This is why when Jesus died on the cross, what did he do? He went into the underworld, the Bible says. What did he do there? He preached to the fallen angels because they fought, they won. So the King of Glory stepped in and said, I'm just here to tell you, you couldn't stop me from coming. Hallelujah. If you don't know this, Jesus comes from the lineage of Noah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching today to you. Something happened between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Everything was perfect. Even if you study the Hebrew language, you'll see that the word created means perfect state. Say with me, perfect state. There was vegetation. There were even animals. I'm going to read it to you later on in scripture. In Genesis 1 verse 1, there was even animals roaming the face of the earth. I've got news for you. And many people, I think many people are going to think this guy has lost its marbles. But I've got proof to prove this. The earth is not 6,000 years old. From Adam's time to now, it's more than 6,000 years ago. But the earth is much older than that. It's a proven fact. And the Bible proves it. You know, many scientists say, well, there was some things in space. I actually have to call my son here. He'll explain it much better. You know, what school teachers nowadays. There's een dingetje, the other dingetje geraak, and bang, and almost here. That's good. How did that get there? Oh, hallelujah. I'm just raining on Satan's parade this morning, all right? Just bear with me, I'm going to get somewhere. Please tell your neighbor he's getting somewhere. Can we get verse 3, Genesis 1, verse 3? So, let's just pause there. You hear me? Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1, verse 1 speaks about creation. I want you to say creation. Genesis 1, verse 2 speaks about destruction. Because the scripture says that the world was empty, void, darkness was on the face of the deep. Darkness. There was no light. There was darkness on the face of the deep. And then verse 3 says something else. Then God said, let. Please take note, the word let is not a word of creation, but a word of permission. I'm going to say this again. The word let is not a word of creation. It's a word of permission. When God said, let there be light, He did not create light. He permitted light to shine again. That's deep, brothers and sisters. I don't really know. I think maybe I'm going to stop here. Pray for people. Let's go home. I don't know if you're ready. Are you ready? I want to read you another one, and then I'm going to put everything together for you. Ezekiel 28, verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. Say to him, thus says the Lord God, you with a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. I want you just to hang on now. Who's God speaking about? He's speaking about Lucifer. Lucifer was created as a perfect angel, the most beautiful angel ever. He was created with two things that stood out. He was an archangel, but he was an anointed angel, and he was the one who led praise and worship into heaven. This is why the Bible says pride comes before the fall. I want to say this again. Pride comes before the fall. Before Satan fell, there was pride found in him. Now I'm going to throw it out there. This is why most churches today, their biggest fights is here. You had me in the word. Go to any church. I've been preaching around for 14 years. Go to any church. The first thing they will say is, we've got a problem with our band. I was preaching in Johannesburg 2 Saturdays ago. Pastor called me. He said, I've got issues with my band. How do I sort that out? And this is what it says. I want you to hear me this. Verse 12 says, you were the seal of perfection. Satan was perfect. Lucifer, rather. Not Lucifer, before the fall, that was his name. He was a perfect creation, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. It goes on, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. Now, this was his outfit, by the way. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, diamonds, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Now hang on a bit. Here the Bible says Lucifer was created with an organ. He was built with pipes. In other words, as he stood before the, he was the one leading praise and worship in heaven. He was built so perfect that the scripture says he's the only angel that was created with instruments built on the inside. Where do you get this? Read your Bible. It's all in here. You see, this is what we miss. We read the Bible. We go to church like just like sheep, you know, and that's what we believe. And we don't read the Bible word for word. Why do I teach this? Because this morning I want to teach you that familiar spirit that is attacking your family for ages is stopping today. It's not an enemy we do not know. It's an enemy we do know. And he's got no authority. He's got no power over us. Come on, I'm speaking to a true people in this place. That's it. This morning, every sickness in my bloodline, every cycle shall be broken. Because this morning I know who I war against. The workmanship of your timbrels, you had timbrels and pipes on the inside of them, was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub. Pause there. You know, I know the Holy Ghost. When I said you were in the Garden of Eden, I knew many people said, that's Adam. He went on. Adam wasn't the cherub. He's a man. Cherub is an angel. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Verse 16, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. As I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. So the scripture is very clear. It says that Lucifer was an anointed cherub. He was the one that led worship in heaven. He was perfect. The Bible speaks about his beauty. That's what led him to go into heaven and say, I'm going to make my throne above his throne. I want to throw this in. I'll get to the scriptures now. If you can give me 5 to 10 minutes of your time teaching, and then I'll get to what I wanted to show you. Is that fine? Are you ready for this? So the scripture goes on. It says that Satan wanted to take his throne and place it above God's. This means that Satan had a throne. If you have a throne, it means you have a kingdom. If you have a kingdom, you've got ruler. You rule over people. You rule over certain things. And the scripture says he was like a god, a prince of the earth. Everything on the earth was subject to him. He was also an archangel, and the scripture speaks about the following. He had a third of God's angels that reported to him. We know other archangels that speaks about Gabriel and Michael. I just want to quickly get somebody excited in this place. Jesus, when they took him away to crucify him, he said the following. He said, do you know that I can call on 12 legions of angels? On 12 legions. Now, do you know what? They reckon a legion is between 2,000 and 6,000. They reckon in the Hebrew language, they reckon it's 6,000. So Jesus said, if you know who I am, I can call on 12 legions. That's 12 times 6. Why 12? 11 disciples, Judas left him. And Jesus was number 12. A legion to protect each one of them. But now the Bible speaks in the Old Testament that there's a certain place where an angel of the Lord came and he destructed, killed 185,000 men. And he was one. Imagine God says, I release a legion of angels. This is why Elisha could say, open your eyes and see that those who are for us are much more than those who are against us. Come on, you've got a great host of an army in heaven that's just ready. This is why no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You've got a legion of angels that's got your back. Open your eyes and see. Why do you think that the Bible says that when the servant's eyes opened up, he saw chariots of horses and fire on that mountain? The legion appeared. But the scripture is so clear. It says there's innumerable angels. Can't even count them, so much. And the Lord created each one of them perfectly for him. Isn't that glorious? I said, isn't that glorious? So something happened. When Noah's flood came, It was because of judgment. God sends a flood because of judgment. Please say judgment. This is when we have the movies from Hollywood that shows the end of the earth is coming and it's going to be flooded. It's not what my Bible says. My Bible says the earth will never be flooded by water again. It says the last time judgment will fall, fire will come from heaven. But something is so clear. It's clear as day. Genesis 1 verse 2. It was because of judgment. Something happened in between Genesis 1 verse 1, Genesis 1 verse 2. Is everybody listening? Verstaan jy? Jy verstaan waar het ek sien jy verstaan? Is met my? Okay. All right. And I'm going to get to all the scriptures now. So Genesis 1 verse 1, perfection. Genesis 1 verse 2, destruction. Something happened. What happened? Sin. Sin happened. Not Adam's sin, Lucifer's sin. Lucifer rebelled against God. And he took a third of his angels and he talked them over. He even tried with Christ. He said, if you bow before me, I'll give you the kingdoms. He had to say the same thing to them. They followed him. And suddenly the Bible is so clear. And this is where I'm going to get you. I'll prove a scripture. Suddenly the Bible says that God stopped. He covered the sun and the moons and the star. Or the moon and the stars. And so there was no more life, no more vegetation. And suddenly there was a flood. If you just hear me, I'm going to get to scriptures now. The Bible says God created the heavens and the earth was dry land. There was no sea. The sea was underneath the earth. That's how God created it from the beginning. The sea came after Genesis 1 verse 3 where God says, now this is where we draw the line. This is where sea creatures will live, etc. Somebody listening? Yes. Come on, this is excited. And this is the reason I'm teaching you this. You will understand where demons are coming from. You'll understand why Satan has tried to destroy multitudes of people. Now you're going to know who you are fighting. Amen. Amen. So Genesis 1 verse 2 is where God stopped everything. If you just hear me, the New King James Version and the original Hebrew language again say the following. God created Adam. He said to him, replenish the earth. He doesn't say plenish. Plenish means to fill. God didn't say fill the earth. He said refill. You can only refill something that was already filled before. This is why we need to read our Bible word for word. He says, replenish the earth. Replenish. Please say with me, replenish. This is why I want to tell you, there's no power in this house this morning that is stronger than the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no demon force stronger than the blood of the Lamb. If you believe it, I want you to shout a hallelujah in this house. I want you to put on Isaiah 14. So just hear me quickly before I'm going to read this. It just came to my spirit. And this is maybe got nothing to do with nothing, but I need to say this in any case. The Bible says Adam was created. Eve wasn't created. Eve was made. Read the Bible. He says, God created Adam out of the dust of the earth. And he took out of his sight a rib and he made Eve. He made Eve out of creation. Just hear me. This is why God took out of his sight a friend, a wife. Please say a wife. He took a wife. When Jesus, the second Adam, slept on the cross, meaning died, out of his sight, he took a wife, the church. What the first Adam lost, the second Adam restored completely. The Bible says when they crucified Christ and they lifted him up, he made an open spectacle, triumphing over Satan, disarming him of all principalities and all powers. If that doesn't excite you, brothers and sisters, nothing will. Nothing will. Okay. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened nations? Now, you made my mooi word. The Bible says, how have you fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened nations? When did Lucifer fall? If you read your Bible, from Genesis 1 verse 3 right up to Revelation, it points back, I call them pre-Adamites, to a pre-Adamatic time frame of the earth. Because when Adam was created, Lucifer was already Satan. Is somebody listening to me? In other words, he fell before Adam fell. He was casted out of heaven. This is why Luke chapter 10 says, Jesus said the following. He said, I have seen Satan fall like lightning. This is the day that he saw it. This is why, just free of charge. And well, I always think about the following when people complain about how the worship sounds and how the praise sounds. Do you know what I always tell the people? We are not worshiping you. You are not perfect in all of your ways. We are not praising you. I don't care if you think that the drums are too loud and the guitar is too soft and somebody's vocal cords is in say system. And I don't care. That's Satan's job. Satan's job is the accuser. We don't, oh my God. We praise and worship the King of Glory because that is fit. Hallelujah. So if I stand here, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, you can say, God says, wow. Wow. My God, let me just tell you something. When you lift up a sound and you praise and worship, I want you to do me a favor and you tell Satan, every time you worship, you tell him, this could have been you. Hallelujah! This could have been you, but you've been casted out. Give me a high five, brother. You tell that devil, this could have been you. You were created to lead worship, but iniquity was found in you. This is why we will raise a hallelujah. This is why we will sing and make music unto heaven. Hallelujah! Quite frankly, whether the religious spirit like it or not, we don't care. We are here simply to glorify the King of the universe. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For any person that criticizes praise and worship, were you there when he created the heavens and the earth? Were you there when he measured out the span of heaven? Were you there when the morning stars were rejoicing together and when the chief cornerstone were laid down? Were you there when the sons of God started shouting for joy? You went there. I just want to say this, my God, I just feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the day will come that every knee will bow. The scripture says of everything in heaven, on earth, and underneath earth. This means demon spirits. And I can continue this. I can go on with this for days. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 9, it speaks about the bottomless pit. It speaks about the demon spirits. Most of them are confined there. And they will be released in the tribulation age. But long story short, even them, the Bible says they are as big as men. And they look like scorpions. And their only job is to harass people, give them pain for 5 months long, death will flee away. You can try to kill yourself, it will never. This is Revelation chapter 9, by the way. But do you know that the Lord created them with knees? That devil you're running away from, that devil that persecutes you, he's got knees. I don't think you've heard me. Everything will bow. Everything. Everything. They even, demons even have tongues. Vessel, how can you say that? Lord, did you come to punish us before our time? Yes, well, I just want to quickly say this. When Jesus met the legion, the man of the legion of demons, they cried out. They said, have you come to pain us or persecute us before our time? Because they know that there's going to be pain. And do you know what they said? Do not send us back to the pit, please. Rather send us into the swine. Even demons don't want to be there. My God. Even demons don't want to be there. Yet Christians speak things that demons will never utter. Demons recognizes the anointings or the anointing while Christians are as blind as bats. Demons will not even, no demon told Jesus that he's false. The Pharisees did. The demons, in actual fact, do you know what they said? They said, "Thou art the Son of God." They've acknowledged what's on his life. Christians don't do that. Now it's quiet. Now it's so quiet. So let's go back to this. How are you fallen from heaven, or son of Lucifer, morning, son of the morning, or the morning star? How you are cut down to the ground, you who wicked nations. Which nations? Which nations? Because he fell before Adam. Many people say that from Adam, God created everything. No, you wicked nations. There were nations between Genesis 1 verse 1 and Genesis 1 verse 2. He weakened those nations. I'm going to prove that to you. Are you ready? What did you put on Jeremiah? Jeremiah 4, 23. We're going to read right up to 28. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. Just pause there. Just hear me now. If you say this is the flood of Noah, you're wrong. I'm going to prove that to you. When the flood of Noah came, the earth had form. The if you look at the word void, form and void in the original Hebrew again, you know, we have to read, the Bible was originally read or wrote down in Hebrew, right? It's the Hebrew language. And so it speaks about, if you look at the word void, it was chaos. God is not a God of chaos. I said, God is not the God of chaos. John 10:10 says, it is the thief who comes to steal, to destroy. I have come to give you life. That's the only thing that God is in, is life. So it's, and second of all, the flood of Noah, the water that was on the face of the earth took months to disappear. With this flood, I'm going to prove this to you. The Bible says that God rebuked the waters and it disappeared. Hallelujah. How did he rebuke the waters? 1 verse 3. Let! My God. I'm getting somewhere. I beheld the mountains and indeed they trembled and the hills moved back and forth. I beheld and indeed there was no man. In the flood of Noah there was men. 8 of them to be correct. The Bible says in this flood, nothing was left. And all the birds of the heavens had fled. Can we go on? I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness. It was fruitful. The fruitful land was a wilderness. And all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. What cities? So this means there were nations. There were cities. Cities were shaken. The Bible, there's a scripture that speaks so clear. It says that in God's anger, he turned the world upside down. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be desolate, yet I will not make a full end. The whole land shall be desolate, but yet I will not make a full end. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken. I have purposed and will not relent, nor will I turn back from it. So the scripture says there were cities turned upside down. Come on, I want you to say cities. Now Psalm 104 proves everything. Psalm 104 verse 6 to 7. You can write that down. Psalm 104 verse 6 to 7. You covered it, speaks about the earth. You have covered it with the deep. With the deep. With the deep is water. By the way, as with a garment, the water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. Pause there. At your rebuke, they fled. It's not anywhere in Scripture. When Noah was in a flood, that God rebuked the waters. In actual fact, it was Noah who sent out the raven and the dove to check when the water subsided. This time, the Bible says, at your rebuke they fled, at the voice of your thunder they hastened away. That didn't happen with the flood of Noah. It took months. This scripture says, at your voice, when he speaks, it's like thunder. The Bible says it hastened away just by the rebuke of the waters. So I'm going to go on now, but I want to get to the conclusion. Let me explain. Are you ready? Okay. God created Lucifer as a perfect angel. He was anointed. He was a cherub that covered. He was in the presence of God day and night. In actual fact, the scripture is so clear. It says that he was on the holy mountain with God, doing what? Leading praise and worship. He had thrones. The Bible says he wanted to take his throne, put it above God's throne, because he says, I'm better than him. If something creates you, it's more powerful than you. Come on, somebody. If you think about ants, small tiny ants, or ants, for the Americans, the ants, all right? If you create an ant, and you see it go off course, you will not take your finger and say, hey, come here, richting. You're going to kill it. The only way to help those ants to walk in a straight line is to become one. This is why Jesus had to become one. He came to earth to become like us, so ultimately we can become like him. So it's as clear as day that the Bible says that Satan took a third of God's angels, and he was in charge of earth. He was called the prince of the earth. On earth, there were cities, nations, and there were supernatural beings that the Bible speaks about, Revelation 9. They were not created with sin. They were created sinless. Somebody listening to me. Demons are not fallen angels. Angels have bodies. Demons are disembodied spirits. Jesus casted out not angels. He didn't say, you fell angel. He said, you fell spirit out. An angel has a body. A demon does not. This is why demons possess men. Satan is not sitting on your cupboard at home. I'm going to show you this side. Satan is not sitting on your cupboard. His demons are not standing in a cupboard and when you, oh, ah! No. They need bodies. I said they need bodies. The first thing they've asked Jesus when he casted him out, can we enter the swine? Did you know that they can even possess animals? Jeez. They can even enter animals. That's what the Bible says. And I want to just take the scales off your eyes. They enter children too. Kids, they enter them too. Amen. So let's just get this. So everything that he ruled, even the animals. Now gaan die mense sê, hierdie ou is mal. What about the dinosaurs, Wessel? It's a proven fact. Well, they were part of the animals. In Genesis 1 verse 1, when everything was created. You know, it's a fact that they got an elephant with still grass in his mouth. It didn't look like our elephants today. Still grass in the mouth. And that, those elephants are a couple of million years old. And people say, oh, you stupid Christians, the earth, you see, the Bible can't be right because the earth is not 6,000. The Bible doesn't say the earth is 6,000 years old. It's from Adam to now, it's more than 6,000 years. For a simple reason, 1,000 years is like a day for God. Vice versa. The earth is entering its 7,000th year, the seventh day, where God will rest from his perfect work. What do you mean, Vessel? This is when Jesus will come get the church. This is where we will go home to be with him forevermore and walk on the streets of gold and crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So Satan led a rebellion into heaven to set his throne above God's throne. Satan was in charge of the second heaven. His throne was established in the second heaven. Paul says, whether it was in the spirit or in the flesh, I do not know, but such a man was caught up into the third heaven. Paul was polite. He was the man caught up into the third heaven. So there's three heavens that the scripture says. Satan was in charge of Lucifer, rather. His throne was established in the second realm. In the second realm, in the clouds, this is where his throne was established, the Bible says. So when the Lord casted him out, he lost his dominion and authority and he fell to the ground. In other words, he was dethroned. And when he was dethroned, Luke chapter 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning. The Bible says that immediately darkness came. A flood destroyed the earth. Let me just quickly help you understand what happened. When God stopped the sun of shining, covered them, the whole earth, the globe, freezed into a ball. Frozen. Frozen. Without void. Everything that was on the earth died, perished. Except for those disembodied spirits. They were confined into the lowest pit. That's what the Bible says, Revelation 9. I'm teaching you something now. Satan lost his authority, his dominion. God created Adam. God created Adam. Yes, I wish I had more time. When God placed him in the Garden of Eden, the scripture says there was a tree of life and a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Please hear me. God said, of every tree you can eat, except for the tree from right and wrong. This means that Adam could have ate from the tree of life, which means he was supposed to live forever. That's deep. He wasn't supposed to die. Then sin came in. Satan said, hey, he's lying to you. If you eat this, God knows you'll become like one of him, and die gaan nie vrou in. She was on a big diet that day. I think she was on a Daniel fast. And she says, I'll get the appelkie for my word. And the minute she bit into that apple, and then suddenly there came a knowing of right and wrong. Do you know what happened? Satan took the keys back. And Adam lost his dominion on earth. And Satan regained dominion. Somebody listening to me. Satan regained dominion. And then eventually God said to Satan, well, the serpent's the head's going to be crushed through the seed. We all know Genesis chapter 6. Angels came, slept with woman, produced a giant race. God killed them. He made that's the flood of Noah, by the way. And then there was a nice rainbow in the sky. And God made a vow, a promise that the earth will never go or be destroyed through water again. And Satan believed him and sent a second group of angels to sleep with woman. And God couldn't kill them with water. So what did he do? He used Israel, David and them. They killed them. They slaughtered them. Come on. Aren't you excited about this? So here's the thing. And so Satan thought to himself one thing. He said, okay, now the next step for me is to kill the Son of God. This is why Herod, he planned to kill all the babies. This is why angels came and said, you better flee. They're going to kill the Son of God. But my God, let me just tell you, if God has something on his timeline, there's nothing that no hell, no demon, come on, can do. I'm just getting somewhere now, all right? So here's Jesus, and the scripture says wherever Jesus ministered, wherever he walked, he was attracted to two kinds of people, the sick and the possessed. The sick and the possessed. Every time he healed somebody or casted out demon spirits. In church today, to say speak about demon spirits is a big no-no. But Jesus was speaking about them. Jesus was casting them out. Jesus was teaching you. He said that if a demon goes out, he'll always come back to see if his house is swept clean. And if it's not filled, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, he will bring back seven worse demons and they will come and stay in you. And then you will be worse off than ever before. Jesus, when he casted out demons, he said, go and sin more. So Satan says, oh, this is the plan. We're going to kill him. If we kill him, his flesh done away with him. We're going to kill him. Have they known who they crucified? They would never have crucified the Lord of hosts. So, before I'm going to get to the final part quickly, right? I'm almost there. Ek sien vraagtekens en uitroeptekens. I just feel a heavy, tremendous presence of the Lord. I feel such a deliverance breakthrough in this house. You better hear me now. I'm almost there. So Satan ruled the earth, Lucifer rather, ruled the earth as prince of the earth. And the creatures that was on the earth, this disembodied spirits, it was supernatural spirits, by the way. They were confounded into the pit. The only way they come out is by people asking for them, opening up to them. Let me quickly explain to you. You watch pornography? Demons come. It's like you pulling them out of the pit. Fear, sin, whatever it is, it attracts demonic spirits. People are going to say, well, this is not the case. Read your Bible again. For everything, every blind eye, there's a demon behind it. Every deafness is a demon behind it. Every cripple, there's a demon behind it. Every foul sickness, God did not create you to die early. Please get this. His perfect plan was for you to live forever. Now, you're going to say, well, the Bible says it's planned for a man to die once and then judgment, and that's perfect. But there's no way in Scripture that the Bible says you need to die young and with sickness. If the Lord wants to take you, you can be 120 years old and God can just take you. Come on, act declare that prayer is illegal. Say for I pray, hey. I'm getting somewhere right now, right? The Bible says that Michael, the archangel, and Lucifer fought over the body of Moses. Michael said something, he made a statement. He says, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. He didn't say, I rebuke you. Do you know why Michael, the archangel, can't say the Lord rebukes you? Because the Bible says in the book of Revelation, you have overcome through the word of your testimony and through the blood of the Lamb. Jesus did not die for any angels. No angel can say, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We can say this. Now, here's the key. People will ask me, well, why did God destroy the earth and those beings that lived on the earth? Why did they become the demons and not us? Why is God so merciful and compassionate? Let me tell you why. We are the only creation created in His image and in His likeness. I'm almost there. Hey, so die dog's nog a puppy. Don't you just love the word of God? Yes. Give me a few minutes. Just hear this. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. People say this happened before. No, it didn't. It's prophecy. It's coming. If you believe it happened before, tell me when it happens. I will not be here. When this comes, I'll be with him. Okay? Happy days. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. I have to say this. The Bible says around the throne of God there's a smoke. Satan's a copy. The only problem with him, he's got a smoke machine. Well, God's got the real deal. Ek moes nie. Ek check hulle, waar is die smoke machine? Hier is een hier nie. Jy gaan nie een hier ooit kry nie. Halleluja! Who needs a smoke machine when you have the smoke of His glory? Halleluja! I had to, okay. And he says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Just follow me now. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them. They were not given authority to kill man on the earth, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. This is Revelation 9, by the way. Men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. Now hear this. Hear this quickly. These are those who lived on earth in cities. And before I'm going to read this to you, just hear me. When Paul says, I was caught up into the third heavens, he said, I saw things and heard things that I am not permitted to tell you. For if I tell you what I have seen and heard, you will lose your faith. In other words, he says, the things that God created in heaven is things that our natural minds will not be able to comprehend. Hoekom sal God so iets maak? There's angels with eyes all over them, with wheels inside of a wheel. The Bible speaks about horses, spiritual horses. Angels of six wings, four wings, two wings, normal angels. Things that God created that normal people, if our minds are far too small, this is why we're not God. So it goes on. It says, the shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. That's how big they are. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were faces of men. Hoe lyk 'n demoon dan? He's got a face like a man, but his body is like a scorpion. Some of them looks like horses. In other words, this embodied, this formed, parts of humans, parts of animal. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like woman's hair. Hare. Long hare. Soos vrouens. And the teeth were like lion's teeth. So do you understand the demons is like half man, half beast? And they had breastplates, like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men for 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit. This is a pause there. But why were they destroyed and not us? We look like him. We were created in his image and in his likeness. Just hear me quickly. Matthew 16:19, Matthew 18:18. Jesus set the record straight. Luke chapter 10, he goes on. I'm going to start with Luke chapter 10. Then I'm going to move on to the Matthews. All right, are you ready? And then we're going to go to the O.R. Tambo. This morning, demon spirits will flee in 7 different directions. Luke chapter 10, the disciples ran and said, Lord, even demons, please hear me. They didn't say angels. In actual fact, I'm going to iets sê wat mense baie kwaad gemaak. We have no biblical right to command angels. There's no scripture in this Bible. This is why people call on the angel of revival. Call on Jesus. Who is man that you are mindful of him? You created him a little bit lower than angel. The word angel means Elohim. Elohim means Trinity. I am not less than an angel. I am not less than an angel. I have been bought. I am the only creation that was bought with a price. I am the only creation that sins and can cry out, God, have mercy on me, and he forgives me. Angels that sin, Genesis chapter 6, they are doomed. They said, Lord, demons are subject to us in your name. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. When he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning, he was speaking about, I saw that Michael threw him out of heaven. I didn't even touch that fellow. Michael tossed him out. He said, hear my translation. I saw principalities and powers, chains of bondages, addictions, brokenness, sickness and disease fall like lightning at the sound of my name. He said to Peter, Peter, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. In other words, what Jesus is saying to the church, what Adam was supposed to walk in, I will restore unto the body of Christ. Where's the body of Jesus? If you're part of the body, I want you to jump to your feet. If you say, I am part of the body of Jesus Christ. If you say, I am part of the body of Jesus Christ. He said, what the first Adam lost, the second Adam will restore. Satan had the keys to the kingdom. Remember when he lost it, when he was tossed out of heaven. Take your seat just a second. When he was tossed out of heaven, he lost the keys to the kingdom. When Adam sinned, he regained it. But here's Jesus. Knowing not many days from now, he'll be crucified. So he said to Peter, Peter, come here. Hear me. Behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind up in heaven, I will bind it. Whatever you loose on earth, in heaven, I'll loose. In other words, what Jesus said to Peter, come here. I give you the power of attorney. If you bind that foul spirit, he must come down. If you loosen the power of God, it must be released. Matthew 16, 19, Matthew 18, 18, the same thing. Twice. He said, I'm giving you back what Adam lost. I'm giving it back to the body. He says, I give you the power to trample on scorpions and on serpents. I give you the power to trample on principalities and powers. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Please hear me. Looking at people today. Where's the real people? Wave at me. Not plastic ones. People with real emotions. So I'm looking at people today. Situation. Your situation right now is just so dead. You know? So many nights that you just fought. That would just end my life. I'm speaking to the real crowd now. Not the religious people. People say, I've got nothing going on. Everything's too hard. You know, just God breaks down over and over. Maybe you lost your job. Everything around you just seems dead, hopeless. You know, it was months since last you were able to just buy groceries and give your family something to eat. I'm speaking to you. You received that school bill and they want to kick your children out because you couldn't pay the fees. Got doctor's bills that are just piling up. You know, depression is knocking on your door. Between friends, you're happy. You laugh. But that evening when you go home and you close the door and it's just you and you alone, depression comes and wants to take you out. You wonder about your marriage. Lord, why am I still in this marriage? Everything just seems like it's just failing, Lord. It's just dormant. Lord, I go to church, but I really never really encounter you. I just feel like, Lord, this, what is the reason of all of this? Lord, when I wake up, there's problems. When I go to bed, there's problems. I can't even pay my cell phone bill, Lord. I don't know, Lord, if I have to go to the left, Lord, to the right, Lord, what's the use of this all? Lord, you know, there was times that I wanted to take my life, and I thought it's better just to kill myself. I feel like Job sometimes. I feel like Elijah cursing the day of my birth. Why am I alive? I'm speaking to the real crowd. Where are you? Where is the real people? Please wave at me with real feelings. People say, yes, I know exactly. And you've been going through some cycles and suddenly you went to the doctor and the doctor says, listen, I've got some bad news. the same sickness that your grandmother's got, your mom's got it, but you too, it's in your bloodline. And unfortunately, before the age of 40, you'll die of cancer. And you receive that medical report, and maybe you receive that report. Come on, speaking to you, that you've got sugar, your sugar levels are through the roof, and fear has gripped your heart. You think about the condition of the world, the condition of South Africa, and you say, Lord, there's no hope for us. And fear grips you. That spirit of fear grips you. It haunts you in your dreams. You look at your children and say, Lord, what are we going to do for them? Lord, what's the future? What's the future for them? And you think like there's a vision. And then sometimes you hear that negativity. It says that you don't have the money to fund that dream. You wake up in the morning, you look in that mirror, you think to yourself, I'm useless. I've messed it up. You promise yourself, I'm going to pray more. I'm just going to seek Him more. But every single time you think that you're going to get closer to the Lord, something happens. You get angry. Suddenly in your marriage, you're just fighting all the time. You don't know why. There's just quarrels, and your children are out of line. The school calls you in and says, listen, your child is out of line. There's something that's busy brewing on the inside of you. And there's a voice that speaks to you. That voice says, just give up. Just give up. Just die already. Just give up. Where's the real people? I'm speaking to a real crowd this morning, not the plastic ones. You lay awake in your bed at night. You say, Lord, please just take care of my kids. And your kids are not small anymore. They're already working, but there's no breakthrough for them. And they struggle financially. And you worry about your grandchildren. And you think to yourself, Lord, are they okay? Do they have food? And you want to help, but you are limited. There's not enough money to feed them all. And maybe you got that letter at your job and it says that you've lost your job. They've retrenched you. The contracts that you've been praying for over your business, it didn't happen. And the only thing that you hear is that voice, give up, give up, give up. It's hopeless. Why am I still trying? Why am I still going on? Where's the real people? Satan haunted your dreams, your vision. He has bound you. And fear moves you. Everything that you do is motivated by fear. Everything in you is motivated by fear. When your heart beats a little bit, you think, well, maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a disease of the heart. There's people sitting in this place that you fear that sickness coming to your life because your whole family had that same cycle. Speaking to people that says, basically every month is just a cycle in my life. Every month is just a cycle. I have people around me that says, curse God and die. Where's your God? If He's alive, where's the breakthrough? Where's the miracles? Suddenly I stand before a big valley full of dead and dry bones. In my spirit, I think to myself, it's impossible. I'm just too far away. Maybe you've looked into that bottle for so long. Alcohol has gripped you. Drugs has you. You're standing at the edge of divorce. Everything is just falling apart. And you get yourself in that valley full of dead and dry bones. Suddenly, Lazarus, come forth. I have given you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bound on this earth, I'll bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, if you command every familiar spirit to depart, I'll make sure it departs. Whenever fear grips your heart, every time that you feel like you have been surrounded by Him. Open your eyes and see, greater is He that is in you than He that is in this world. There's nothing that your flesh feels that your spirit cannot handle. For every stronghold, there's a lie. You will not die. You will not kill yourself. You will not overdose. You will never go to bed again without food. David said, I was young and I was old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. No, his descendants begging for bread is the real people in this place that can hear a sound out of nothing. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And suddenly you hear, Lazarus, come out. Come out of your hiding place. Strongholds are falling. Strongholds are falling. Jesus says, I have given you the power. He disarmed Satan of all principalities and powers. What Satan is doing over your family right now, where's the fed up people? It's illegal. It's illegal. What is tormenting you with every single night? It is illegal. Those dreams and those things that's hunting you, it's illegal. And I'm here to say this today. For those who believe it, you know how demon spirits depart? Through the blood of the Lamb. And people who say, Satan, this is a temple. From this morning, I reverse every curse. I break every cycle. I come against every familiar spirit. You will not be what your father were. There's greatness on the inside of you. You will not be, you will not even carry the sickness of the previous DNA. You will be healed and you'll see the salvation of God. Healing will run through your veins. You are above and not beneath. You are moving forward and not backwards. Nothing can stop you. Nothing, I said nothing can stop you. Nothing can separate you from His love. There's no demon in the pit of hell or on the earth that's stronger than the blood of Jesus. Am I speaking to somebody in this house this morning? Where's the real people that say, Satan, what you've been tormenting me with, it's illegal. I saw Satan fall like lightning. I give you the power over all the powers of darkness, and nothing by any means shall harm you. Parents, it doesn't matter how old your child is. Your child can be 40 years old. This morning, it's a morning that you make every devil know, my children belongs to God. I want to say this to somebody in this house. You better tell those devils, the problem in our bloodline stops now. I need to speak to somebody. You better tell those demons, those familiar spirits on assignment to kill your offspring, you better rise up and say, devil, you are under my feet. The blood of Jesus is against you. The fear that Satan gripped you with and say, your business will amount to nothing. I've got some good news for you. The Bible says that I know what I plan for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. I want to share this. If you say, based on my marriage, I'm divorcing. No way, it's not over until God says it's over. There's a turnaround coming. There's cycles being destroyed. Come on, come on. Every demon that has gripped your family, in the name of Jesus, I declare, let God's people go. Oh, come on, I need some people with faith in this house that will say, I sent you back where you come from, in the name of Jesus. The blood of Christ. That's my salvation. That's my protection. Has Satan known what worship does? This is why the Bible says God created us for Him. For His pleasures. Something that Satan denied, He anointed His people to do. This is why 1 Samuel 16, the Bible says, David worshiped God, and those distressing spirits sent to attack Saul disappeared. The minute David stopped, those demons came back. They said, what are you saying? I'm telling you, you have been created with some organs on the inside of you. You have been created with drums. Yes! Whoa! You have been created with a sound on the inside of you. And when you start to worship God, all of hell is trembling. I said, every assignment of Satan stops. When the people of God start to worship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift those hands coming across this place. Across this place. The Spirit of God is speaking in this house. He's speaking in this hour. Come forth, Lazarus. Come forth, Lazarus. I cancel fear. I command that spirit of fear that has gripped you. I call on you. Holy Spirit, your word declares that through your power, Jesus healed all who were oppressed, casted out demons by your help. And I thank you in the name of Jesus that I can speak in the name of Jesus. I can speak to that spirit of fear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want somebody that's gripped your fear that will release.